This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, D.C., Maryland, Virginia? Good morning to you on a Monday, June 18th. We're the Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss. Structure, accountability, results, the standard for weight loss in the area. EMP180weightloss.com for more information. I'm Cakes, and I'm joined by Eric Bickle.
Morning.
Hello, sir. You can follow him on Instagram and Twitter at EBJunkies. Joined by Jason Bishop.
Boys, happy belated Father's Day weekend.
Same to you as well. Hope it was a good one.
Yeah, it was good.
So you got a three-man show today. JP on vacation, I believe, in the Outer Banks.
Yeah, all the summer vacay start.
Yeah, this is when the ball starts rolling.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good time of year.
You see a lot of three-man junk shows going forward until football season.
All right.
It's kind of the norm during the summer months.
Can't believe we're already more than halfway through June already. It's crazy.
I know. June 18th.
It's crazy. But, you know, anytime you have Father's Day, that means you have the U.S. Open. And I know Cakes didn't watch any of it, unfortunately, or very, very, very little of it. I was totally captured by the whole thing. Much as I hated the setup, much as I hated the way the USGA just lives on the edge and you deal with just nonsense, they kind of gathered themselves on Sunday. And we had a hell of a finish. And Brooks Koepka becomes the first back-to-back winner since 1988, 1989. Curtis Strange won back-to-back U.S. Opens.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, man.
Incredible. Koepka, I believe, only has three PGA Tour wins, but two of them are the Open.
I know.
Two pretty good ones. If you're going to win three, two of them are U.S. Opens.
And he had a wrist injury for a lot of the spring. He missed about, I don't know, 3 months or so. So
they thought it could have potentially been career-threatening. It was so serious.
But he was awesome over 4 days. He was the best there.
He made some big putts. He just kept making big putt after big putt. Some comebackers, you know, like 8, 10, 15-footers for par. I mean, on Saturday, I think he made like a 40-footer for par, whatever it was. He was just awesome.
It was 61 feet, actually.
I didn't really know who to root for. I was kind of rooting for DJ all along.
I know
I like DJ.
I had DJ in one of my pools. I was definitely rooting for him.
Yeah.
He just didn't have the putter this weekend. He was great on Thursday and Friday, but his putter let him down over the weekend. Missed 10 putts of 15 feet and in yesterday. Four of them were easily
I was still
makeable.
Hanging in there and rooting for him down the stretch, but it became obvious that he wasn't going to be able to really turn the corner. And then, you know, in the middle of that, I was rooting for Patrick Reed because I wanted to see him, you know, win the Masters in the Open.
Well, how about Tommy Fleetwood, man? What he did, that was incredible.
Fleetwood was awesome, and he seems very likable, but...
I know, he's a Brit.
I don't know.
It's hard to root for the Brits.
Didn't get that size. I mean,
I would have liked to have seen him during the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
But think about it. I mean, he makes that six-footer on 18 to shoot 62 to set a record, man. That was pretty cool. Of course, he missed it, but, you know, just he tied the record, but that was a very, very impressive round of golf.
From Tommy Fleetwood. Awesome. I just don't get that size. Yeah. Maybe I will. Maybe as
like you said,
years
it seems
go by.
Likeable.
Seems very likable.
Yeah.
Koepka's
just I wouldn't call him cocky. I mean, very confident.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't do a lot of talking. You know,
he's kind of boring.
Doesn't have a great personality.
Yeah, he's kind of boring.
Off the golf course when he talks to the media. But
so handsome, though.
Man, he can play.
That's a good looking guy.
He's dreamy.
He's got a dreamy wife. I don't know. It was weird. He had so many studs, you know, like Spieth and Rory and, you know, Tiger and all those guys who missed the cut. I bet you they were so happy they missed it when they saw what was going on Saturday. Can you imagine them just sitting at home going, thank God I'm not dealing with that nonsense.
Ricky Fowler shoots 84 and then 65.
That just tells you.
No,
a 19-shot difference.
Well, Ricky Fowler's 84 is inexcusable. You can't blame that on the golf course. He was god-awful on Saturday.
I'm sure a lot of it was golf course related.
Dude, are you kidding me? He was in the fescue the entire day.
A lot of that, though. That's fine. A lot of that, though, is when you get on the green. The greens were unplayable. They were ridiculous.
Well, not everybody shot 84. It was a lot of guys shot even par.
No, he didn't have to shoot 84. Still, I hate the USGA. I really have no love for them. But
I'm sure most of the players agree.
It ended up being an awesome final round anyway, you know, because they allowed the guys to play. They watered the course, and it's a great course. And
you had some drama.
And you had some drama, so it was great. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I was telling the boys, you know, and I'm sure we'll talk about the Open throughout today, because there's not that much going on other than the World Cup. I haven't watched any of the World Cup.
Oh, you missed some good action over the weekend. Germany-Mexico was silly.
Yeah.
Watch that one
start. I've watched as much World Cup as Cakes has watched the Open.
Well, Spain-Portugal, I mean, that was an instant classic.
Yeah.
That was a great game. And look, I'm soccer Cakes over here. I don't watch a lot of soccer, but I've been consuming a good amount of the World Cup.
I like the World Cup.
So far.
I just haven't watched it because, I mean, you can't start the World Cup U.S. Open week. I mean, that's just dumb.
Argentina-Iceland?
I mean, I don't know why they did that.
Argentina-Iceland? How does Iceland get a draw with Argentina? That should never happen. Shouldn't happen in a million years.
Mexico beats Germany?
Well, Messi gifted a penalty kick that he misses?
I mean, didn't see it. Doesn't happen. All I know is Germany's one of the favorites, if not the favorite, and Mexico beats them.
Correct.
And by the way, we did this World Cup pool where we drafted countries on Friday.
Everybody has four teams.
Did we do it on Friday or Thursday? I guess Thursday.
Yeah.
Because it started Thursday. I don't even know what my countries are. I mean, I was expecting a...
AWOT's got a big board in there. You can get up to speed.
Can I get an email?
You picked Iran, and they won. And that was your last pick.
That's three big
points. They got hooked with an own goal, too, by the way. You just got so hooked.
All right. The big dogs are playing like nubs so far in the World Cup.
What are the big matches today?
England plays Tunisia at, I think, 2 o'clock.
England plays Tunisia. Let's see, who else do I have?
South Korea, Sweden play.
Have Poland, Belgium.
Well, isn't England going to just crush Tunisia?
You would think so.
So that'll be boring. If it's like a 5-0 game, that'll just suck.
Everybody thought that Brazil would smoke Switzerland yesterday.
Yeah.
Play to a draw.
It's not as bad as Tunisia.
They're hurting, yeah.
By the way, what is this?
I've got two countries playing. I got Sweden going, and I got Belgium.
What's the standard over-under total for these games? Like two and a half goals?
I think
I might just have to talk to my man Valdez and have a running $50 wager on the under in every game. I think I come out ahead. Look at the scores in most of the games.
Let's see. Yesterday, they're butt low. Yesterday, three unders.
Unders.
Saturday. Let's look at Saturday. Saturday, you had 3 out of 4 unders.
I mean, I'm telling you, Valdez, we're going to have a post-show meeting.
And Friday, you had 2 out of 3
unders. I would have lost Spain-Portugal because they went way over. But for the most part, I mean, it's either 1-0 or 1-1.
Did you guys see the hot water that Landon Donovan was in?
Yeah. What happened?
He had a Wells Fargo ad on Twitter of him holding a scarf.
Right.
And the scarf said, "My other team is Mexico."
Right. It's just weird.
It's just very... and pissed a lot of people off, including some of his former teammates, that either A, he feels that way, or that he took a bunch of money to put over Mexico.
He definitely got paid a boatload.
Of course he did.
And then they started arguing, then it got into politics about building a wall and how Mexicans are treated. It was just off. It went off.
Boy.
It's just weird. I mean, Landon Donovan's kind of a prickly guy.
Yeah.
I don't really care about him.
So today you got Sweden, South Korea, Belgium, Panama, and Tunisia, England.
You said it so fast, I can't.
Sorry, Sweden, South Korea.
All right, so hold on. So Sweden, South Korea. Sweden's got to be a big fave in that one, no?
I've got Sweden, you got South Korea, I believe.
Yeah.
Going head-to-head on that. Belgium, Panama is the 11 a.m.
All right, who's the favorite in that one? Belgium, I would think.
Got to be Belgium. Yeah.
Right?
And then England, Tunisia.
England, Tunisia.
That's the 2 o'clock.
I don't even know. They're on Fox Sports 1, the games?
Yes, they're on Fox Sports 1 most of the time. It's on Fox... like on the weekends.
So what time are the games on now?
8, 11, and 2.
8 a.m.?
Yes, yeah. Ricky. They're playing in Russia.
There'll be a silly game on during the show.
Time difference.
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
You guys would be bitter if you did morning radio in Russia because those games are starting at about 10 or 11 p.m.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I just wouldn't watch. I wish they would start at 11, like 3 and 7 or something. That would be ideal. But yeah, we at least get two of them we can watch.
First game's at 8?
Yeah.
Put it in for 50 on the under. I don't even know what the number is.
You're just going to do that from here on out every
pretty
game?
Pretty much. Unless I start getting smoked on the overs in the first next 4 or 5 games.
Watch, this game's going to be like
it'll be a bloodbath.
Well, who is it again?
Sweden and South Korea.
I don't know
I can't keep track. How do you know how
Sweden,
you guys can remember
Korea.
All that?
I just gave it to you three times.
I can't remember it.
Let's see.
In order.
I would think that the books are going to start to adjust a little bit there, Cakesy. They're all going 1-0s.
Maybe. But if it's 2.5,
they're not
or better,
go.
I'll take the under.
Let's go. All right, so you got the first games that you said it's 8 a.m., correct?
Yes.
That's Sweden and South Korea.
And I'll just pray for a 2-0 Sweden result in that one.
I'll take Sweden. I need Sweden to win. That's three easy points. Sweden, by the way, is plus – South Korea is plus 320 if you like them. Sweden is plus 110. The total is 2.
Hmm. Oh, it's 2.
Yeah, it's 2.
I don't get the hook job on the half goal.
The Belgium-Panama game is 2.5, and the Tunisia-England game is 2.
I'm just be rooting for 0-0 at halftime.
All right, so do you want it?
Is it 2 or 2.5?
2.
Sure. Just have a vested interest.
Jason, when do we get paid on our Tiger bet?
You will get paid tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Did you end up for the week?
Yes.
You did?
I had a lot of prop bets on the U.S. Open. Came up pretty good. And then I hit a couple parlays in baseball.
Nice.
And then I'll do some bets on the World Cup today.
You know, Golf Savant Drab had another sweat over the weekend for a major. He had Tony Finau at like 100-1.
What'd you have in there?
Did he have
bucks?
A top five finish? 10 bucks. Finau finished top five,
fifth.
Did he?
I think he finished fifth.
Yeah. Well, he was the leader heading into the final round.
Yeah, no, he was right there, of course.
He looks like a donk hitting the ball. I have a better swing than him. He puts his feet 2 inches from the ball.
Sure, you have a better swing.
Yeah, he just hits it 340.
But uncoordinated.
He was actually very coordinated.
I don't know what
he looks
about.
Like a donk.
He wasn't very coordinated when he broke his ankle.
Well, that's true. That was an embarrassing moment for him. Yeah, you will get paid tomorrow.
Today I'm going to get locked in. So today I'll get locked in on the soccer and I can join all the fun. But prior to that, it was all U.S. Open. And, of course, we had the Phil Mickelson controversy, which we can get into. I'm sure people want to chime in on it. Mm-hmm. I personally thought it was butt disrespectful. And, you know, I don't know all
the
rules.
Do you think he should have been disqualified?
Probably. When he did it, I thought he should have.
Mm-hmm.
And then honestly, I thought he probably should have just withdrawn because just take yourself out of it. You've now tainted the Open Championship. You know, I don't feel as strongly as Valdez like where he cheated because I think he went backwards. If he would have let's just played it out, he would have gotten better than a 10. He was just being impatient, and it damn near looked like he did it on purpose because he smoked that putt past the hole. I mean, that thing was on a bullet train to the bottom of the approach. He hit that first putt so hard. Yeah. It was like, you're a donk. What are you doing? And then he went running after it. And he even said he'd thought about doing that many, many times before, and he always wanted to do it.
Yeah.
He's just making a point. He always thinks he's the smartest guy in the room.
Well, he's also frustrated at the setup, I'm sure, too.
100%.
Even though he didn't
say that's where it stems from.
Yeah, he was
100%.
He was frustrated, so.
I don't think he's a terrible human.
It was a bad look, but I don't think he should have been DQ'd.
I personally would have DQ'd him, but. I mean,
if his name's not Phil Mickelson, maybe, you know, if he's Brian Gay, you know, maybe
he was like
he gets,
last of the field, he was going to have no impact.
Maybe
on
he gets DQ'd, but it's Phil Mickelson. They're not going to DQ.
Yeah, I thought they should have, but, you know, whatever.
At the end of the day, does it really matter?
It doesn't really matter, except he took away from the championship because they spent hours
they did
talking
talk
about it.
Well, that's just the media. They should have been talking about it. They talked a lot more about the course
setup.
They
also talked about the course, which is maddening, and that's also avoidable. Two things that were the main focus of the Open this weekend were completely avoidable. The USGA making a mockery of the course once again, and then Phil just being a douche, just trying to be the smartest guy in the room.
Well, the USGA obviously made a mistake on Saturday, but then, you know, they corrected it on Sunday, and then there were people complaining that the scores were too low.
Well,
they don't like seeing Tommy Fleetwood shoot 63.
Can't make the golf fans happy. They're always bitching and moaning about something.
Yeah, but you can't please everybody. I mean, they did what they could. They made
pleased
it playable.
No one on Saturday.
Saturday
they pleased no one on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm surprised Mike Davis still has a job because he's now been criticized for 3 consecutive years.
Yeah.
At course setups, right. Going back to Chambers Bay and then Aaron Hills last year and then of course this year. But
they can replace him just with another douche. They all have sort of the same ideas.
Although the scores ended up where they kind of wanted them. They like them to be around even
because
par.
They kind of went over the top on Sunday. Sunday.
I mean, can you imagine if they didn't make any adjustments on Sunday? Koepka would have won it like 9 over.
No, I mean, you had the almost entire field shooting 80. You know, if that's what you want to see, just the guys completely tortured. You had that on Saturday. So, yeah. And, you know, we got a whole show to talk about it. The Open. We haven't even talked about the Nats getting swept.
Nats are swept.
World Cup.
Bryce goes 1-for-12 in the series. Yep. 6 Ks.
Not a good performance north of the border.
You got the Yankees
the
in town for a game and a half today.
Yep.
Which is weird.
They start the first game at 5:05.
They got to finish the last game, right? Is
correct.
That what they're doing?
They're going to finish that game. They played 5 1/3 that was suspended. And then, of course, they'll play the next game that was canceled at 7. So you got a game and a half over there at Nats Park. And I'm not sure who's going to start. Eric Fetty's going to start the 7:05. I'm not sure who's going to start the suspended game. I don't know if they've announced that yet.
Right. So Jason Sobel is going to join us a bit later, senior writer for the Action Network. He will help us recap the U.S. Open, maybe give us some gambling tips for the World Cup going forward as well. And at 8 a.m. today, a big announcement. You don't want to miss it right here on 106.7 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to the show, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Don't forget, big announcement coming up at 8 a.m., so you want to stay tuned for that. We're going to hook up the early listeners right now. 10th caller at 800-636-1067 wins a pair of lawn tickets to see Bare Naked Ladies live in concert July 2nd at Wolf Trap. Tickets are on sale now through wolftrap.org or by calling 1-877-WOLF-TRAP, but you can win your way in all week long with 106.7 The Fan. Get your details at thefandc.com/contest. Those tickets are courtesy of our friends at Wolf Trap.
Got to thank Heidi Kaberski over at Wolf Trap.
Last name basis now, too. Before it was Heidi, now it's Heidi Kaberski.
All right, who'd you see? Harry Connick?
Saw Harry Connick last week. That was Thursday, and she got us into the Encore Lounge, the VIP lounge.
It's nice, isn't it?
It's really nice.
It's a nice little spot to pregame before the show.
Very good people
over there. I got to look at their schedule. I got to see who I'm sized for.
Look up the sched. Check it out. We just gave away tickets to Bare Naked Ladies. You know how many hits they have?
Yeah.
Oh, 100? I mean, you would be entertained.
Harry Connick songs are about 10 minutes long, each of them.
Every one of them is 10 minutes long?
Oh, yeah. They just play.
They just go on and on and on.
Yeah.
Does he still have that goofy talk show?
I think so.
He still does that?
I think so. But, you know, it was like 9. Actually, it was probably earlier than that. It was probably 8:45.
What was the turnout like?
It was jammed.
Place just packed.
Yeah, people love Harry. And, you know, we only had two tickets. We had 4 tickets total. We had 4 lawn seats.
Right.
We also had 2 tickets that my mother had given my wife for her birthday.
Okay.
And they were inside the stadium.
Right.
But there was only 2 of those.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife didn't want to get up during a song because apparently Harry Connick will call you out if you just get up in the middle of a song.
Oh, he will?
Yeah, I think he's got that.
He'll say, where are you going?
Yeah, he'll just stop. Maybe he'll just stop the show and say, hey, what are you doing? Anyway, so she didn't want to, you know, leave them mid-song. So they started they start a song, and it's like, oh, my gosh, another 10 or 12 minutes.
Right.
Because she's not going to leave in the middle of the song.
Sure.
And I'm just trying, you know me, I'm trying to get to bed.
Understood. I get it. I know the bit.
Eric, I'm trying to go home and get to bed. And it was about 9 o'clock, almost 9 o'clock. And, you know, I know, it was, you know, walking to the car, driving home, it's going to be like 9:45.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just texting her. I'm like, all right, last song. She goes, all right, one more. And I'm like, one more? That's going to be like another 12 or 15 minutes.
Right.
Finally, she comes up, and she was bitter. She wanted to stay for a couple more.
Sure, of course
you
did.
I told you, you could have driven yourself.
That's right. There's always that option.
We could have driven separately.
Yeah.
But she
didn't want to. That's no fun, drive separately.
I understand that, but we saw about 4 songs.
Right.
Seriously.
Are you kidding?
That's 45 minutes.
Dude, I'm telling you, his songs are that long. He just keeps playing and playing and playing.
Every one of his songs is like Stairway to Heaven.
Yes.
I mean, it's just my long.
Yes.
Hmm.
And it's the same thing, talking about New Orleans.
Right. Just won't stop talking about New Orleans, just like drab
t-shirt. That's all he talks about.
Whenever
New Orleans.
He goes to New Orleans, can't stop talking about it.
All right, so here are the shows that I would see. I'd be interested in. I'd be interested in Bare Naked Ladies. I actually love Bruce Hornsby from back in the day.
Sure.
I'm showing my age.
Who doesn't like Mandolin Rain? Are you kidding me? That's the song's a smash.
You might be the youngest person there if you want to see Bruce.
I get sized for him. My wife would be sized to see the Indigo Girls. I know that. Now, I wouldn't go this, but I'd be psyched to see Halsey.
Halsey's
kinda
good.
She's hot.
She's hot and she's good.
And she's good. Boy George. You wouldn't be psyched to see Boy George,
George
Culture Club in the B-52s?
I would be butt-sized.
So
that was my guy back
so
in the day.
So it's just Boy George? He dropped the Culture Club?
No, it says Boy George, Culture Club, and the B-52s.
Oh, so that's a good one.
So he's getting lead billing.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what? You donks, I get lead billing. Boy George, then Culture Club.
Didn't he have a relationship with the brother in the band?
I don't know.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Maybe.
Then, I mean, this would be embarrassing, but I would go to see Charlie Puth. he's silly. Bryan Adams? Are you kidding me? You think I wouldn't go see Bryan Adams?
See him play Summer of 69 and all the smashes?
Lyle Lovett? Isn't that the guy that was running around butt naked? Or no, is that a different guy? Who was the guy, like the country singer that was running around like butt naked?
I don't know. Oh, Randy Travis?
Maybe it's Randy Travis.
I think you're getting your guys mixed up.
Yeah, okay, all right. Just making sure, okay.
Which one was married to Julia Roberts?
Lyle Lovett, I believe.
Lyle Lovett
at one point.
All right.
Michael McDonald and Peter Cetera. You think those
I wouldn't get size for that show.
There would be a ton of hits.
Of course there would be.
I just get size for hits, Cake.
So many Doobie Brothers hits.
Kenny G. Jason could take his kids to go see 5 Seconds of Summer. You see that they're going to be there in September?
Yep. I did see that.
I give Wolf Trap props for mixing in some of the younger acts,
too. They do. They have
too.
A complete mix.
Yeah.
Then you can go see, like, symphonies there if you want to, too.
Right.
They got it all. So, yeah, very cool. I wish I did something. I haven't been to a concert in a while. So, I'm kind of jelly. They have Alanis Morissette.
You got the hookup. I don't know why you wouldn't take advantage
of
it.
Dude, I would go see Alanis Morissette. That might be the one.
Alanis Morissette, probably
late
40s. 42,
probably, something like that. Somewhere in that range.
Anyway,
I'd be butt-sized.
So, got to thank Heidi over there at Wolf Trap. She treated the bishops very well.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know about you guys, but my Father's Day was weird. I was bitching and whining the whole time because my wife and girls are in Orlando for a volleyball tournament. And by the way, they're going to go do the whole Disney thing, which is fine. I don't want to do it.
Right.
I've done it.
I hate it.
I hate everything about Disney. I hate everything about Disney. So I'm glad I'm not doing that. But they're sending me these pictures and videos. They're saying it's a spectacular resort. It's not even a Disney resort.
What's the name of it?
Don't know. It's a Marriott.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, this massive pool and water slides. It's like something that, you know, when we go to where Jason's been 17 times.
Yeah, like Atlantis.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So they're having a great time. But, you know, for basically 5 days, it's just me chilling at the house.
Right.
Because my son's running around doing 9 million things.
So you spent Father's Day alone?
For most of it.
Really?
I went and spent 2 hours with my mom, you know, and then my son got out of, I now have 2 certified lifeguards.
Really?
How cool is that?
Hey, if I'm drowning, one of the Bickle kids is nearby.
Right.
Drag my ass out of the pool.
They could save you.
Although,
excellent. I don't know if I should say this, but my son said there are a couple guys there that they passed that he wouldn't want to be drowning in their pools.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So the
nub swimmers.
The bar for grading is very low.
Seems like it's pretty low. Nub swimmers, and when they had to do like the drills where you have to like save a guy and then roll him over, and that they were just too weak.
That's a course where I want the standards to still be pretty high. Life saving is pretty low.
The standards seem pretty low considering everybody passed.
All right, so that's like Mike Bray grading our U.S. government tests back in
'87.
Right,
very similar. Watch a film strip, and no, but it is cool. They learn like CPR.
Yeah,
and they learn. You know, whatever, the Heimlich, and they learn how to do the chest compressions.
Haven't they gotten rid of, like, the mouth-to-mouth CPR because everybody's grossed out and won't do it anymore?
Right.
I'm serious. I think that's why they've moved away from the mouth-to-mouth, and now it's just the
chest compressions.
I think so.
I know we had Kevin Schaefer on. Remember he came in here and he brought the chief of police from Manassas or whatever it was.
Fire chief from Manassas, yeah.
And he said that if you do the chest compressions correctly, I believe he said you break their rib cage.
Like he did say that.
Because you have to, and my son said, when you do it, you have to go down like 2.5 inches.
Yeah. It has to be intense.
Honest to God, I never did any chest compression training.
When you were a lifeguard.
Yes.
You did nothing.
I did nothing. I didn't even have to take a written test.
Right. Yeah.
Well, they had to
just said, here.
Right.
We are so desperate for lifeguards.
Just
here's your
chair.
Pass.
I mean, this is back
your certificate.
But you actually got the certificate.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you just showed up at work and they just hired you.
But no, they gave you a piece of paper
because
you
got high and drunk in the 80s.
You had to post it in the office of the pool.
Right.
Worked. So to show you were certified.
Right.
I just got
the classes are
nothing.
Nothing.
The classes though, they're kind of a nightmare. So you go like on Friday from like, it's like a preliminary thing where you do your swim test. That's like from 6 to 9. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's where you have to swim at 300, which, you know, that's kind of a lot of swimming. If you don't really swim, that could be taxing.
What is that, like 6 laps?
Back and forth. Yeah, yeah. Whatever it is, yeah.
Ah, come on. You got to be able to do that.
You should be able to do it. But it's you'd be surprised how tired you'd get having not being a swimmer.
I mean, I'm out of shape. I could do 6 laps at a heartbeat.
Well, 6.
Wouldn't even think
full
about
laps.
It. Of course
up
I
and
could
back.
Do that.
Up
no,
and back.
It wouldn't be like Michael Phelps sort of times.
No. It's taxing.
It's a little taxing.
There's no chance Cakes could do 6 laps back and forth.
Without stopping.
100% I could do it. I would do it right now.
You probably could, but you have to go really slow.
Yeah, it wouldn't be fast, but I could do it.
It would probably
then
take 30 minutes.
The other thing you have to do is you have to, and I think this is hard. Steven says it's not that bad. You have to tread water with just your feet for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of hard.
That sounds kind of difficult.
It's kind of hard. This is the way you do it. You just kind of kick and pop up. You go down and kick and pop up.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just kind of conserve your energy.
Yeah.
And then you have to, they throw a brick.
I'd be eager to see if Cakes could actually do it.
100%.
He seems very confident.
I think he could because he seems so confident.
I would do it right now.
Olympic size pool.
But he's never done it before.
It's taxing.
Of course I've done it.
That's basically 12 times.
I've done that before.
You've done a 300.
I've swam up and down for like 25 or 30 minutes without stopping.
When?
A couple summers ago.
I'd like to see him do it. I'm not saying you can't do it. I'd like to see
him. He seems confident. No, I'm on your side.
It would be, it's not as easy as you think it is.
I think it's pretty easy.
And I know if it was timed, you couldn't do it.
No, I didn't say anything about time.
I mean, if you had 45
minutes
to do it.
It's not timed.
Swim at 300 and you have no time limit, I would do it in a heartbeat.
No, the other thing you have to do then is
take that bet.
Look, very cocky.
Yeah, I know.
Very cocky.
I've done it before. It's not like something I've never done. It's doable. I know it's doable.
I would be eager to see.
Cakes.
I could do it.
Everybody passed. Everybody did it.
Of course they did, because it's easy.
Well, they're 18.
If you know how to swim, you can swim the 300, please.
Anyway.
Then they throw a brick in the 8-foot. You got to go down. I mean, it's 8 feet. It's not like it's 20. It's 8 feet. You got to go get the brick. And then you have to carry it like backwards, I guess, on your chest, but keep it above the water.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, like you're saving a dude, I guess, a brick.
Right.
I think that's about it for the physical part. But then you have to, here's the dagger. This is why I probably would have never done it. You have to, so this is what he did this weekend. You have to go there from 9 to 9 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. Where you're taking notes,
right?
And you're watching film strips, and they're teaching you how to use like the machine. Mind numbing.
Yeah, it is.
That's 24 hours condensed into 2 days.
Thank
basically.
God I didn't have to
that's
do it.
That's one day of your weekend completely
right.
gone.
Right, but he got out. They actually let him out like an hour or two earlier. So we went out and we had dinner for
which
a little
pool?
Bit.
Which pool is it?
That was just it's just like some dumpy pool in the bottom of a basement of a Sport and Health.
That's where he's going to lifeguard?
No, that's just where you get
certified. Where is he going to lifeguard?
Oh, I don't know. His girlfriend's pool or something. Yeah.
But he'll be at one pool. He's not going to bounce around.
He's working for a big company, allegedly.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But I think it's a great job for a teenager because you could just kind of pick up shifts and kind of work whenever.
Did they train him how to twirl his whistle? Because that's very important.
It's a critical part of the job,
twirls
I think.
The whistle.
But you know.
Both hands.
In today's distracted world, obviously, you know, you can't have your phone with you. You know, you got to pay attention. It's
right.
really boring.
Oh, you definitely can't have your phone up there.
Lifeguard Eric Bickle would do a lobby for his phone.
No, I wouldn't. I've never because there's
too
much riding
on it. Did they
tell
him that? You can't have your phone while you're in the chair?
No, it's just obvious. But my daughter told me that there was somebody at our pool who was in the chair with their phone. Got bust. I mean, fired right on the spot.
Yeah.
Right on the spot. I mean, they don't even mess around. You're fired. What are you doing? You're fired.
Good.
You're finished.
Right.
Good.
Distracted
Good.
Lifeguard.
They should have been fired.
Have it.
Yeah. Yeah. So my Father's Day weekend did kind of suck, and I complained about it for days leading up to it.
Complaining.
Days
Meanwhile,
leading up to
your
it.
Daughters are on like 80-foot high water slides.
Yeah, they're sending me videos. Woo! Right. Wee! Woo! These fancy resorts. It kind of did suck. I'll be honest. The only thing that saved me was the gap. The Jared saved me.
Yes, saved your weekend.
Thank God.
Yeah, mine was all right. I had a couple graduation parties to go to, one Friday night, one Saturday during the day. We had a softball tournament. Our team, I'm assistant coach for my daughter's team. It's a 16U team. And we played up in an 18U tournament this weekend.
Right.
Does that mean you get smoked?
No, we played really well on Saturday. We went 3-0. Beat all these teams.
That's good.
Because our team's good.
Right.
But, man, we just sometimes we're so mental. So we played really well on Saturday, went 3-0. And then Sunday, We play at 11 o'clock because we're the number one seed. All right?
Yeah.
Play so well. We're
number
the
one seed because of what you did on Saturday.
On Saturday, right. Yeah. Because you play the pool games on Saturday, right, and then they bracket you on Sunday. We're the number one seed. We play the 10 seed. Five errors.
Oh.
We get shut out 5-0 first game.
Mm-hmm.
Weekend over.
Done.
And I'm so bitter.
Oh, you mean that's it? You lose?
Yeah, it's a tournament.
There's no double elimination or anything?
Zippy double elimination.
Yeah, at first it's
yep,
pool. At first it's pool play. Like
I know what
World
you're going
to
say. You're going to say, yeah, but you can go home and see. Yeah. But see, but the competitive streak comes out and I want to win. I don't want to lose these games.
Right.
But man, we just played so awful on Sunday. I just don't get it. We played so well on Saturday and we played like a house league team on Sunday.
Right.
I mean, these kids drive me nuts.
Right. Well, enjoy it because it'll be
but
over before you know.
The
not.
One positive was I was home by 12:45.
Yes,
so I could see I was home before the leaders teed off.
Good. I want to play a bunch of the audio afterwards. Let's hear from Koepka. Let's hear from DJ. Let's obviously get into the Phil thing. I will say this, and I tweeted about it yesterday. I found the crowd to be uber annoying.
Oh, so
the
annoying!
The mashed potatoes and Baba Booey and everything after every single shot. Get on the green.
I
How's
hate
your
it.
Ankle? I mean, just. Everyone desperate for attention dollars.
That's all it is attention dollars.
Well, this is why I didn't understand.
Valdez, I'm not into it. If you yell Valdez, then you will get a pass.
But this is why I didn't understand. Is that at every tournament now? We're just hearing it because of the mics that Fox is using.
Well, the mics were definitely picking up more than usual. But yeah, every tournament they do that.
Well, I know that they do it, but I didn't know if it's that rampant.
I think it probably is,
but these guys get hammered. They're drinking all day. They want to be funny. They think they're funny. They're not. I would totally agree with you. That stood out.
No, it stood out. It was so annoying.
Yeah, I mean, I love how
USA
Fox...
chants every time Poulter would miss a green.
Poulter was pretty happy. He was a big fan.
I didn't even realize
he was
criticizing. They were taunting.
He called Mike Davis the bozo.
Right.
Dirty McGirt said that Mike Davis would ruin Christmas. I mean, all these guys. Not all of them. I mean, a small percentage of guys had something to say. But I would totally agree with you. The crowd was annoying.
We got to stop that. It's just embarrassing.
I don't think they do that in Europe as much.
I think they probably don't.
I think they're a little bit more classy.
Yeah, I wonder if that's just like a New York thing. Like sort of the New York bravado.
Yeah, it might be a little element of that.
Maybe. That too, which made it get out of hand.
Because
it's happened for years.
Yeah.
Occasionally.
But, I mean, you'll hear it at any random tournament.
Yeah, but now it was after every shot, it seemed like.
Well, I think Valdez is on some. I think the mics picked up a lot more audio.
Did you ever pick up that sex conversation? You heard about that, right? Apparently, the mics picked up a graphic sex conversation two guys were having, like, from the night before. Some
really?
Dude was talking about some chick he was tagging.
Really?
Apparently, it was... I didn't listen to it yet.
I didn't hear it.
Can you find it?
Can
you
find it?
See if you can censor it and we can play it? And then, apparently... Did Buck come back and acknowledge it and apologize for it? Or at some point, I think Fox apologized for it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if it was picked up, I'm sure they did.
Well, it was picked up, and it apparently was graphic.
I know what Valdez is going to be doing during the break.
I believe the way it was described is kind of like a violent sex story. Like, not like in a bad, but like an aggressive, encounter.
If you have any thoughts on the Open, on the coverage, on Mickelson, give us a call. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on it. 800-636-1067. I thought Saturday was just the I texted Drabby. I said, this is the wackiest U.S. Open I've ever seen. Because of all the controversy on Saturday with the course setup and Phil. I mean, it was just nuts. Ricky Fowler shooting 84, and then Sunday shoot 65. I mean, it was just a crazy, crazy, kind of an unprecedented U.S. Open.
Taking a lot of ways.
800-636-1067 is the number if you want to chime in on the U.S. Open. And don't forget, Jason Sobel, senior writer for the Action Network, to recap the U.S. Open coming up at 7:20.
All right, 800-636-1067 is the number. We're taking some calls on your thoughts on the U.S. Open weekend.
We got some good clips.
We've got some clips we want to play. I don't know where you want to start on this.
Let's start with the sex audio that was captured. I believe it was on Friday. I think it was on one of the first couple rounds. Of course, Fox, that kind of innovative coverage. And I grew to enjoy the coverage. I'm used to Nancy and all those guys at CBS and the NBC
crews. But I like Zinger a lot.
I like Zinger. I like Faxon. I like all the guys. They're fine. It just takes a little getting used
to. Buck, I could do without, but
I think Buck is solid.
Yeah, just
I respect.
He doesn't ring golf to me.
No, he doesn't.
But I like all those other guys, but their audio is usually great.
Yeah, and they do some innovative things with their audio, and it's picking up a lot.
And they were just dumping nonstop too.
Yeah, they were dumping a lot because they're probably picking up cursing left and right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know,
somebody's working the dump button overtime.
This is audio. Is it two? It's two dudes talking, right?
Yeah.
It'd be like Valdez and Lurch trading stories here. You know, behind a tee,
swapping tails.
Yeah. Now, too bad Lurch has no stories to swap.
I got nothing.
Maybe Valdez either. Recently, it sounds like.
Well, it sounds like Valdez's wife got the steamies for one Brooks Koepka.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, she's making me play golf this week, then come home and pummel her.
So
lucky her.
So play some of the audio that that Fox picked up, and at some point they had to apologize. Did they apologize just through a statement, or did Buck come back on the air? We have to figure that out. They definitely had to apologize for this.
Here at one, it's Patrick Reed.
6-3-1.
Yeah, I would.
I know you're dipping a good pool.
That's
but
my ex.
Yeah, she's hot.
287. That's when we were so hard, and I had cut her in the head.
Sure.
And I 4-4-4-4 smacked in the trowel.
Yeah, what actually happened here? She fell.
No, straight up, like we went and kind of did in the mother's position. Sure. I was laying down.
Second shot.
Why did they let it go on so long?
I don't know.
How come someone didn't catch
it? Because
it's
kind of in the background.
I know, but you can clearly hear what they're talking about.
Say he,
like, he headbutted her. He said we were going at it so hard, I headbutted her.
Like on purpose? Or
I don't think so.
I'm surprised that Buck didn't jump right back in unless he wasn't hearing
because
it.
I think, you know, you're multitasking. You're doing a lot of things. You're watching the golf. You're watching the action.
Yeah, but someone had to have heard it.
Eventually they did.
I mean, I'm just surprised that they didn't dump it quicker.
Well, I'm not sure. Did they even dump it? I'm not sure. I don't think they dumped it.
No.
It just went across the air, and then they had to apologize at some point. Play it one more time, because you really do have to listen closely, because there's a lot going on. They're describing the action. You can hear the action, and then you hear these two dudes talking about him pummeling his ex.
Here at one, it's Patrick Reed.
6-3-1.
Yeah, I would.
I know you're dipping a good pool.
That's my ex.
Yeah, she's hot.
287. That's when we were so hard, and I had cut her in the head.
Sure.
And I 4-4-4-4 smacked in the trowel.
Yeah, what actually happened here? She fell.
No, straight up, like we went and kind of did in the mother's position.
Sure.
I was laying down.
Second shot.
You're actually hearing two different conversations. The other guy's giving a phone number to somebody.
Right.
You're hearing all kinds of conversations.
How's there not a producer?
That's what I'm saying.
I don't understand.
That's what surprises me.
I don't know.
Usually those producers are on top of it. But
all right, so play the Phil controversy. Maybe we'll set this up for people. So I'm sure most people know by now, but Phil's in the middle of a crazy round on Saturday where, frankly, the USGA acknowledged they screwed up. They had it too close to the edge. It seemed to be okay in the morning, but as the wind blew more than they thought it would, the course dried out and balls were just rolling all over the place. And Phil was clearly frustrated. He was hitting a ton of greens in the first couple days, or a ton of fairways, but he wasn't really getting anywhere. He was putting poorly, wasn't getting up and down. So he was, at this point, I don't even know what he was putting for. I don't know if he was putting for par, whatever the hell it was.
He was putting for bogey, I believe.
Putting for bogey, and he smoked one past the hole. Downhill. I don't know what he was thinking. I almost think he did it on purpose because he acknowledged he had this in his head. So he smoked one past the hole. He waited a second, and then he started running after it. And in like an unprecedented move, I mean, we saw John Daly do it years ago when he walked off the course.
That's the difference. He just walked off.
He walked off. That's what I thought Phil was going to do.
Yeah.
Phil ran after it. Instead of letting it roll down the hill and down the front and behind the bunker, he just said, screw it, I'm going to take my two strokes, bump it back. And, you know, he ended up hitting it four or five more times. He hit it a bunch of times. Ended up with a 10 on the hole with the two-stroke penalty. But the golf world was outraged. And here's Phil's explanation for it. Some people thought, David Fay, former executive director of the USGA, seemed like most of the announcers, all thought that Phil should have been DQ'd. But here is Phil's thought process.
I don't mean disrespect by anybody. I know it's a two-shot penalty, and at that time I just didn't feel like going back and forth and hitting the same shot over. I took the two-shot penalty, moved on. It's my understanding of the rules. I've had multiple times where I've wanted to do that. I just finally did.
Did you think the ball was going to roll off the green when you hit it?
No question. It was going to go down into the same spot behind the bunker. It wasn't going to have a shot. And I don't know if I would have been able to save a shot or whatnot, but I know it's a two-shot penalty hitting a moving ball. I tried to hit as close to the hole as I could to make the next one. And, you know, you take the two shots, you move on.
Does it show disrespect to the championship?
It's certainly not meant that way. It's meant to, you know, take advantage of the rules as best as you can. And in that situation, it was just going. I was just going back and forth, and I'd gladly take the two shots over continuing that display.
You're really admired around this golfing world, especially here at the U.S. Open. What do you say to those people that love you so much, follow you? Do you regret what you've done?
I've had an awesome day. The people here have been incredible. It's been, you know, singing happy birthdays, wishing happy birthdays. The people here have made coming here over the decades an awesome experience. And I had, you know, it's a fun birthday. I don't mean it in any disrespect. And if that's the way people took it, I apologize to them. But that's not the way it was taken. I took the two-shot penalty, moved on, and there's not much more to say.
In my opinion, it was his way of saying F you to the USGA. He was frustrated.
Very frustrated.
He wanted to make a point in that. I also think the way he and Beef were just laughing, and like, it just got away from him.
Yeah.
I think it was just kind of disrespectful. And here's the thing. A lot of people are comparing it to other sports, like to basketball or certain random situations. Golf is unique in the way that it governs itself and the way that etiquette is such a huge part of it. There's no other sport like it. There really isn't. And I just thought it was... I thought it was above. I thought it crossed the line. I thought it crossed the line, and he should have been DQ'd.
Yeah, very bad look for Phil.
Just a bad look for the game.
Nobody expected from him.
I will give him credit for going up there and talking to Curtis Strange after the round, and he sat there for another 20 minutes to talk to the rest of the national media.
Did some damage control, but he didn't quite own up to it until he later texted Rosefort.
True, he did.
And he said it wasn't my proudest moment.
True.
Right.
In the heat of the moment, he's not really thinking about it. Like you said, he was frustrated. Once he thought about it, he realized he had effed up. But he did talk about it. A lot of guys wouldn't talk about it.
He didn't talk about it on Sunday, though. He rolled out.
I don't think Tiger would sit there and talk to Curtis Strange about it. Now, Tiger would never do it.
Tiger is a douche in his own way.
I agree.
But Tiger wouldn't do
that. That's why I prefaced it by saying that. But a lot of guys wouldn't talk about it. All right, let's go to Chris in Lorton. He's got some thoughts on Phil.
Chris, what's up?
What's up, boys? How you doing this morning?
What's up, buddy?
Doing great.
So, you know, you guys know me in my past life, what I used to do in golf and things like that. But, you know, this is just a tragic misuse of the rule to your advantage. That really, a rule is not supposed to be used to your advantage in golf unless it's a drop. So this is, it's just something that I don't think, one, he should have done. And, yeah, you want to stick it to the USGA because their whole philosophy is let's take the course as hard and fast for until we can kill the golf course. But, you know, at that point, you're a professional. There's no reason to go ahead and misuse the rules like that.
It wasn't to his advantage. I know he kind of was claiming that. It was an FU because there's no way he was going to get a 10 on that hole. He was putting for bogey. He would have gotten it up and maybe two-putted or three-putted.
I'm pretty sure he was putting for bogey.
He wasn't going to get a 10. He completely just quit. He quit at that point.
He punted on that hole.
He punted. So that's why I wanted him to pick up his ball and just leave.
And, Chris, based on the rule, I mean, maybe they got to change the wording in the rule. Based on the rule, he can do that. I mean, it takes two strokes, but as long as he makes a fair stroke at the ball – I mean, that is the rule. That's what it says.
But there's another rule, which you've heard about, Rule 1-2, which none of us know, but if you're a geek and you've been following this, there's another rule that says a player must not take an action with the intent to influence the movement of a ball in play or any physical conditions with the intent of affecting the playing of a hole. And they also say something about, the serious breach of etiquette.
Oh, that's 33-7.
That was 100% a serious breach of etiquette, if you ask me.
Exactly.
You couldn't, in fact, anything more serious than that other than kick it in the hole.
Well, I was going to say, you could stop it. Well, you could pick it up. You could stop it with your hand. You could kick it with your foot. That would be a little worse than what he did, I thought.
I think it would be on the same level, but maybe worse. You might be right.
The other thing is this ball is going to end up back where he's going to have to chip or do whatever to get over that bunker. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
he wasn't going to get a 10, though. He wasn't going to get a 10. It didn't help him.
He could have easily dunked it in the bunker and then chunked it out. I mean, anything could have happened at that point.
He could have, but he would have gotten in under 10. It didn't help him.
It will look. End of the day, it was a bad look for him. He realizes it now. It was controversial, but you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, his wife said he offered to withdraw. The USGA said no, it's not necessary. You're fine.
Right.
I still thought he was a big distraction and he kind of ruined Saturday. But the USGA did their part.
He was trying to make a point.
He was trying to make a point, and it was obvious on 14 when he basically played it like a putt-putt, and he played up the slope and back, which was completely unnecessary.
Yeah. Saturday was...
You remember that?
Saturday was not a good day for the USGA.
No.
Or Phil.
Definitely not for Phil.
Right.
Bad look all the way around.
But then
can we
focus on Koepka for a moment at some point and play those highlights? We have to do that.
Yeah.
At some point.
When we come back, we'll get into the Junkie Sports page. More U.S. Open, more World Cup, and Jason Sobel will join us at 7:20.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.